Let us stand up and pray again. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity which we have to hear your word in peace, to be gathered undisturbed. We ask you, O God, work today in this hour, something that would bring forth fruit for eternity. Strengthen our faith. Take everything away, O Lord, and make us still in your presence. Lord, we thank you once again that you visited us already graciously, and you will continue to bless us. Take the course of this hour until the end, under the leading of your Holy Spirit. May all other spirits keep silent and depart. May all thoughts depart. Manifest thyself, O Lord. Come to your right. Save, deliver, heal, bless. Manifest thyself. We praise you and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The word that Brother Maynard read, this we read in the course of the years, over and again, and we know what it means to us. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And especially since the opening of the seals, we know about the meaning of such a word. It becomes greater and greater to us and more precious that the mysteries of God are not revealed to all the world, not to the multitudes, but as the Lord said it back then when he had his disciples around him and took them aside. To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Thereby we know that the Lord has called us out from the multitude to speak with us about the deep mysteries that were hidden but that were revealed in the last time. The prophet Daniel said, or the Spirit of God through him, seal what you heard, for it shall be sealed until the end time. Then many will search in it, and thus knowledge shall increase. In these days, it is mainly about the crucifixion and the work of redemption, about that what happened on the cross of Calvary, and I believe that's the foundation. A man must have had an experience with Jesus Christ if the spiritual things shall become a divine revelation for him. The beginning of every man is with the Lord on Calvary. It's not a secret. There where God met with mankind, only there mankind can meet God. And there's only one place, only one site where God met with mankind. Personally met. And this is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Only he could say, he who sees me sees the Father. There's only one of whom it can be said, Paul writes it in 2 Corinthians 5. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. We must, to be in God, to meet God, we must understand that God was reconciled with mankind in Christ. So also we must have been in him to have been reconciled with him. And this is the great mystery. In the eyes of God, we were already there, although we were not here yet. Our names were written into the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. God knew everyone who would accept the redemption in Jesus Christ. For this, we are grateful. So you didn't become a believer by chance. You became a believer because you were chosen by God before the foundation of the world to be sons and daughters of God. Therein is our faith anchored in, and this should make us all happy. By the faith in Jesus Christ, we have become sons and daughters of God. I would like to read two scriptures from the Old Testament that show us the redemption from the prophetic view. The one from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 16. You know, in the Old Testament, we have examples which the Lord used, and thus it is being described to us here. Ezekiel, chapter 16, from verse 5. None eye pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou wast born. And now it comes. And when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, thou shalt live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live and grow. This is our story. The Lord did not bypass us. He saw us lying without that we can help ourselves. And right because we could not help ourselves, therefore he helped us. Because we could not redeem ourselves, he redeemed us. In verse 8 it says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. There was an old covenant, there was a new covenant. The time of God was here to not only announce the new covenant, but to realize it. If it is written here, I spread my cloak over thee. This reminds us on Boaz and Ruth. You all know how Brother Branham spoke so insistent about this story. At midnight, Boaz woke up, and behold, at his feet was a young woman, and he asks, "Who are you?" And she answers, "I'm Ruth, your maid." And then it is written, "And he spread his veil over her." Here God uses, in what he wants to say about the redemption, he uses exactly the same picture. And we also heard this from Brother Branham. When Boaz performed the redemption, although he was not the first, but the second in the sequence, God has led it in such a way. God leads all things as he likes. He redeemed Naomi and got Ruth as his bride. The God of Israel redeemed Israel, and at the same time he purchased his bride through the same redemption. In the Old Testament, all the shadow images. In the New Testament, the fulfillment and the realization. One can go through all of the Old Testament, beginning from the Garden of Eden. Everything spoke of redemption. Before the Lord chased the first human beings out from the Garden of Eden, he clothed them in skins. From where did he get these skins? Before they could be clothed, the lambs had to give their lives. From the Garden of Eden, God spoke of that redemption would come through the blood of the Lamb. The promises were given over and again until they then found their fulfillment. Beloved, it's the will of God that we today understand and experience the redemption from the divine point of view, not only looking at it, but experience it, that we know as certain as the Lamb of God was manifested on earth, so certain John, the preparer of the way, could say, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Your and my sin was laid on him, upon the Lamb of God. He bore it. He atoned for it. He has forgiven it. What he has borne and forgiven, you don't have to bear it anymore. About this, you don't have to worry anymore." Who was it of our wise men? He said, "If the redeemed would look like redeemed, then I could believe in their Redeemer." We are sometimes like people who are depressed, as the Lord said it then, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest for your souls." May today, in this hour, the discrepancy, the uncertainty, the double-heartedness, the unbelief be at its end, and God could make a new beginning in your life, to lay a new life into your and my life. For thus we have heard it, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And this divine life that was in him came back on us since the day of Pentecost. I quoted already the scripture so that I don't have to read it anymore. I just would like to briefly read a few quotes from the sermon of Brother Branham from the 22nd of April, 62. Very up to date, even today. The title, The Restoration of the Bright Tree, preached around the Easter time. Here he says the following. Now, it's Easter time. Oh, I like Easter. To us, it is not about the worldly part with which Easter is decorated, but about the resurrection, restoring. It's God's restoring time. You look out over the earth. God is restoring. Restoring what? Nature, flowers, leaves, and the fruits of the field are coming forth. What is it? God is restoring. Easter means to bring it back, to restore. I believe this is a good thought. If we speak about Easter, then we think on restoration. Then we think about that one died and then taking away the power from death and brought incorruptible life and nature to light. It continues here. As soon as the sun turns to the earth, an Easter takes place, a reviving. Everything comes forth anew. What the winter killed, the sun brings it back to life. That's the way it is with the people. All that the winter's coldness of cold formal religion killed out there, the nearing of the Son of God in these last days, coming to his church, restores it back to life again. A very wonderful word. Easter, new life, comes forth. Overcoming of death is manifest. Victory is manifest. Easter is not just a public holiday on which we are reminded. Easter means at the same time our justification, our renewing, our resurrection, for we are crucified with Christ. We were buried with him and we rose with him unto a new life. And the scripture even says, ye are born again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We know the blood clarified the question of sin. The blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sin and guilt. But then we needed new life. And the new life came then back upon the blood-bought flock. Easter means that new life comes forth. In the natural, we understand it. Everything died. Everything is dead. And suddenly, when spring comes and the sun turns again to the earth in the right angle, then life comes forth, regardless where it is. A law of God, a statute of God. And I tell you, if Jesus Christ arose unto us as the Son of Righteousness, then it will happen regardless of where we are, that we are brought forth unto new life. Not from ourselves, no, it is the work of God. Let me read on here. The Lord said, I will restore. We live in the time of restoration. Easter is the evidence of the victory. After all, many died. Resurrected was only one who could say before, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. Who could say, I have power to give my life and I have power to take it back again. One whom death could not hold. It continues here. May God plant us in the right place so that there can be a restoration. Is there a better place than in the presence of God, where His word is preached and where we are touched inwardly by the power of the Spirit while the word is preached? Beloved, the time must come back where we are grabbed by the word anew and where we are touched and revived by the Spirit, that we not only nod our heads when the truth is preached, but that we receive it into our hearts and experience it so that it become divine reality. That's what it is about. Here the people shall not be preached to death. Here the dead shall be made alive by the quickening power of God. The time is here. It continues here. All that the winter kills, the sun restores. What happens? It forces. Nothing can resist when the time in the natural is here. Then the nature forces it. It's a law of God. Nobody can change it. It goes on here. Death can't hold it anymore. When the sun in spring comes back in line of the earth again, everything what was killed is forced to resurrect. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why to a resurrection? Because there is a germ of life. On one hand dead, and on the other hand, in this death, a germ of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the mystery. I read on. Maybe also this part. Death must depart when the sun in springtime comes back in line of the earth again. This we all know. We look into the nature and rejoice. New life comes forth with power. How is it with us? Where is our Easter? Divine new life shall come forth in all them in whom there is the divine germ of life. And we believe that God has laid it into us. Otherwise, we would not have any relationship to Him and to His word. It continues here. Everything what was killed is forced to a resurrection. It is revived. How does it happen? Through the sun, according to God's law. God has set a law for the earth. Everything in nature works according to God's law. This we all believe. God has a natural creation, and for it he has set everything. But he made the beginning of a new divine creation. Of our Lord it is written in Revelation 3, thus saith the Amen, the beginning of the creation of God. How did the creation happen? The word of promise was believed, and the Holy Spirit overshadowed her who believed the word of promise. And thus the begetting took place by the Holy Spirit. In these days we hear the word of the divine promise, and the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and then new divine life is begotten in us. It continues here, when the sun comes unto the seed, it forces that life out of the seed. Death can't hold it anymore. Amen. When the hour comes, then God's law has the power to execute a function that nobody can resist. And when the hour of God has come for the New Testament church, then all resistance is broken. Then the law of the Spirit is applied, and new divine life comes forth. Here it continues, death can't hold it anymore. God has set all of his laws to serve him. Amen. God has not put himself under a law, but God has given laws so that everything works according to his divine will. And so we read on here, both in the natural and in the spiritual realm, they work according to his word, regardless of the conditions. Hallelujah. Both in the natural and in the spiritual, God works according to that what he has set forth in his word. Nothing and nobody can resist here. It continues here, God set all of his laws into motion, that it must work according to his own word. We still come to it. I read on to save time. The law of life was in Christ. When the word was spoke and said, I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave his soul in hell. There wasn't enough devils to keep Christ in that grave and that his body would see corruption. For the word of God, as the law of God, forced the resurrection. You see what's all about? God said, I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. The word came forth from his mouth. God had to, and he took care for it, that the corruption did not touch his body, because it was written. And therefore, Brother Branham says here, in Christ was the law of the Spirit of life. He was not determined for death, although he died. He died for us. He was ordained for life, and we died with him in order to live with him through the same word and the same spirit. And this we must understand today with all our hearts and believe it and experience it. If we just hear it and it doesn't become clear to us that we were included into God's plan of salvation, then we can still hear it 100 years. I ask myself, if all people who will be in heaven had to hear so many sermons like we heard already, until God can work on them and in them what he wants, what would there be? Sometimes one single sermon was enough and the breakthrough came. People were there with an open heart. They believed, they received, and on the spot had an experience with God. We would like to see Jesus. We would like to have an experience with him. The grace of God can still be experienced today for you and for me. Jesus is not the I was. He is the I am, and he will remain it until eternity. Here it continues. Yes, this I read. And then the next passage. Job said, though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Regardless of how little we are, how low we are, how impure we are, how unholy, how sick, how afflicted we are, the law of God's Spirit, by his word, makes it obey him, forces the issue, and says, give it back. Amen. This amen also Brother Branham said here. And this we can all say, but do you see what it is about? As on Christ, the Redeemer, every word was fulfilled. Of necessity it had to be fulfilled, because the scripture cannot be broken. So it is with all the redeemed. God forces it. It must happen what he promised in his word. We sometimes think, if God then does it, then it's all right. God has to do it because he is true. He cannot deny himself. He cannot give a word and then take it back again. Every word that came forth from his mouth is yes and amen, and we can rely on it. What does this passage want to tell us? Here a list is shown. Regardless how little, how low, how impure, how unholy, how sick, how afflicted, regardless of your condition, God wants to intervene. Regardless of the situation, God wants to help, because the need is never greater than the helper. But we have to let ourselves be helped. We must receive the word in us and permit the Spirit that he gets us into motion with this word, that we don't have to make efforts to cooperate, but that we could say, like Jeremiah said it, it burns in my bones like a fire, and if I would make efforts to stop it, I would not be able to do it. Beloved, how is it with us? I want to believe that God in these days wants to visit us graciously. He lets his people be called together. We are gathered as the people of his covenant to hear his words. And not only that, to experience what he promised to the New Testament church. Until today, we live under our God-given privilege. We didn't experience the things yet which God has promised and given us. And now Brother Branham tells us here, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, regardless of your condition, God forces it. When and how does it take place? When the Word of God in your heart has found reception, and when you believe it and ponder on it, and the Spirit of God takes this Word in you, then you cannot stop it anymore. Then you have to let yourself be done with whatever pleases God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then you are not working on yourself anymore. Then the Spirit of God is at work and you hardly can stop it. And right this we need tonight. Praise be to the living God. We are not here to waste time. We are here to redeem the time, for it is a precious and an evil time, but for us a precious time. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, outwardly in contradiction, an evil time and a good time. For some, an evil time. For the others, a wonderful, a glorious time. It continues here. Oh, if we could just think of that for a minute. Regardless of what condition we are in, the law of God's word forces the condition to cope with his word. So, once again emphasized, regardless in what situation we are, let us have an open word with one another. Usually, we have the same excuse. We think or say, yes, if you would be in my situation, and one does not want to be in the situation of the other. But everyone points to his situation and excuses himself with his situation. Is there a situation, a state that God could not change? Is there something impossible where God could not help or intervene? Don't think anymore on your situation. Think now on him who was in a totally different situation. But because the word applied to him and was given for him, therefore it found fulfillment. We hear here, regardless of the situation in which we are in. Of course, if we look on our situations, then we not only have one, then we have a few. Here we are together required to not look on ourselves and on our situations, but on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And he turned the fate with Job and with many others, and he will also do it with us. We read on here. He spoke here in the meantime of the Old Testament prophets, and then he says, they died in faith after their testimony and waited for the resurrection. On that Easter morning, the word was fulfilled on them, which Job and all the prophets prophesied, and which became the law of God, by which the dead were raised. Has not already Moses, in the description of his experience at the burning bush, testified of the living God? And it's even mentioned in the New Testament, because when God appeared to Moses, what did he say? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then comes the revelation, God is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived in paradise. God is a God of the living. He has overcome death. All these prophets and men of God, they may have been laughed at, but God has kept his word, and the hour came in which they rose. In the same way, we may be certain that God watches over his word, also about those promises that were given to the New Testament church. Can you believe it? Also, regardless of the situation in which we are in, many could have complained even more than we. Yes, it is even nice to know that also Lamentations are written in the Bible. But in the same way, there are Psalms of praise in the Bible to let us know that God leads out of every situation and is faithful and a help in the time of need. It continues here. And God speaks something, and that is a law. And the Holy Spirit is here to enforce that law for the believer. Did we get this? Every word of God is like a law, for God is bound to it. If this would not be so, then we could not even rely on God. Pardon me when I make this comparison now. We can rely on God, on his word we can rely. Sooner the heaven falls down before his word deceives me, as a German song goes. He promised, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he wanted to be present. He stands to his word. He is here today. And whoever cannot believe this, let him repent, for he made God a liar. Whoever does not believe what God said makes him a liar. Let us start to believe. And if we believe that the Lord is present, how shall and how will our behavior, our words, how will be our life suddenly be totally different when we become aware of that we live in the presence of God and walk with God? Then things will be different with us. I read it once again. And God speaks something, and that is a law. And the Holy Spirit is here to enforce that law of God for the believer. Oh, I think now on Hebrews 4, verse 12. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. And I also think on a word from the prophet Isaiah. There the Lord says, my word shall not return void unto me, unless it accomplished for what I have sent it for. We live, or we celebrate these days of the crucifixion, the days of our redemption, of our forgiveness. Did we experience it, or is it just a memory? I believe that we all experienced it, and whoever did not experience it yet, he shall experience it today as a revelation of God. You know, also the redemption, it's a work of God, a thing which man cannot take for himself unless it is given to him by God. Now listen, maybe we shouldn't go into the further part. We have heard enough. Has by it come up a longing in us? Did we understand what God wanted to tell us? He spoke out words. He has given promises to which he is bound, like unto a code of law. The lawgiver and the code of law belong together. James writes, there's only one lawgiver and judge, and he has given the one law, the law of the letter, to condemn us as sinners, to rightfully, legally condemn us, and then he has given the law of the Spirit of life to make us free of the law of sin and of bondage, and to place us into the wonderful liberty of the children of God. Today, you can make your experience with God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For how long shall God wait? What shall still be preached? How many scriptures shall still be read before the Spirit of God can make a breakthrough? Let me summarize this once again. Just as God in the natural has given the laws and everything works accordingly, and life comes into the dead things, so God has a spiritual law to bring forth the dead, the spiritually dead, unto new life. And what is written? Awake, you who are asleep, and rise from the dead, and Christ will enlighten you. We spoke of the light, of the enlightenment, of life. He is everything. He is light. He is life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is all in all. Today we will pray together. Today we will experience God together. Today we will believe God together. Today we will give room to the Spirit of God. And today we will sing of the victory of God in this tabernacle. For the glory of God, the law of the Spirit brings forth to new life. As Jesus Christ could not be held by death, so all who belong to the body of Jesus Christ cannot be held by the spiritual death. No, we are ordained to penetrate to a new life with Christ, so that we also can say, now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. And this may not be then only words. This must be a divine life that can be manifest on every step. I long for the life of God. If the sons and daughters of God shall be manifest. Yes, then first of all, divine life must be in them, and then they can be manifest. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I want to experience it together with you, what it means to receive the divine life abundantly. Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. Who will still ask now? I hope no one. It is God's offer of grace. And believe me, the Spirit forces His way through to work that what God promised and to bring it forth. Efforts are no more needed, just to swim in the divine river, to surrender, a going with the Spirit, praising, thanking, no asking, no begging, a thanking and receiving, a receiving and thanking. May God grant it to us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. And all the people say Amen. And stand up to thank God and to praise His name. Hallelujah. All raise their voices, their hands, their hearts to thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please, brothers. Heavenly Father, we thank you together for your grace, for your word, for your mighty working, Lord. May our hearts be open tonight. May we not have our hearts and mouths closed. Give grace that we all praise you, Lord. If we say we are children of light, if we say we are children of God, then we want to give our God the glory and the praise and the thanks. Hallelujah. Glory be to our God. Glory to our God. Praise and thanks. Come with thanksgiving. Come with rejoicing. Hallelujah. Praise, honor and glory and worship to your name that is above every name, wherein is all salvation. Praise God. Praise God. May all believe. May all rejoice. May all believe that they are healed. O God, you are present. You are not far. You are a God who is nigh. Praise be to your name. Praise, honor and glory. You, the victor of Calvary. Hallelujah. Praise God.